former personal injury lawyer turned NGO leader, Richard Silber, or Rick to his friends, is now working in Washington, D.C. and Nepal. He is coming to the Telluride Mushroom Festival for the very first time to talk about programs at those locations, including a brand new project to document the mushrooms of Nepal and Mount Everest. This is Susan V. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be introducing Rick Silber to Telluride's tribe of fungophiles. Rick, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's a real privilege.
So, since you're a newbie to the Telluride Mushroom Festival and welcome to the fold, let's begin by talking about your interest in fungi and how it evolved. The interest is obviously profound since you're a member of the board of directors of the Mycological Association of Washington, D.C. So talk to me about that and how you came to be invited.
Sure.
To Telluride.
Well, first, just a quick thing. I recently stepped down from my position on the board, so I handed that off to some of my colleagues there. But I was on the board for a few years, and it was a great privilege to be part of a really interesting and intellectually driven group of mushroom enthusiasts here in Washington, D.C. We have over 1,000 members, and it's really a very interesting and inspiring group of people. I'll tell you something, and it feels like somewhat of a confession. One of the things that really drew me to the world of mushrooms was not mushrooms, but something else, and that was what I call the robust generosity of spirit among the members. And I just was so impressed and moved by how enthusiastic these people were about the subject, that that's to be, as when I really thought about, when I was thinking about your question, what is it? I really think, frankly, it was the people. The mushrooms, I love the mushrooms, of course, they're fascinating, they're interesting, they're fun to find, fun to eat. But I really think that it was the people that really interested me the most.
Thank you for that. And how did you come to be invited to Mushroom Festival?
Well, it's really, I have to give this to Britt Bunyard, who recently traveled with me to Nepal and was a great, we became great friends, and he was a terrific leader of this interesting trek we just did in the Himalayas looking for mushrooms. He and Shiva Devkota, Nepal's foremost mycologist, and Thomas Rail, who's studying to get his PhD at Clark University in David Hibbett's lab, were really a wonderful, academically oriented and knowledgeable team that helped us find so many different and interesting mushrooms in this really extraordinary part of the world, the Himalayas of Nepal.
Thank you
so
much.
So it was Britt who suggested that I come, and I was thrilled to be able to participate.
Okay. Before founding your latest venture, International Mountain Trekking, you were a former trial lawyer for the U.S. Department of Justice. Then you started your own firm around 1992, I think. What drew you to the law? What are you proudest of having accomplished over an illustrious career in medical malpractice and personal injury law? And does your Distinguished Service Award from the Gay and Lesbian Activist Alliance offer a clue to that answer?
Well, I'll give you one small note. When I told my my grandmother, my bubby, that I was got into law school, she said, "Ricky, it's almost as good as being a doctor," which, you know, I said to her, I said, "You're probably right." I ended up making a career at suing doctors, not so much because I don't like doctors. I have an abiding respect for them. But I also know enough about science and enough about medicine to make me effective in the courtroom. And I enjoyed representing people who had been injured in those settings. And I enjoyed the difficult work of challenging a very well-funded and well-defended group of people who make mistakes that can cause irreparable harm to people. So that was a great interest in me. The award that I received from the gay and lesbian group in Washington, D.C. sprung from a really fascinating civil rights case that I did many years ago representing a transgendered individual who was abandoned by the doctors and abused by the emergency medical personnel when she was injured in a terrible car accident. And this was early on in the in the world of this kind of thing. And so it took a lot of work to try to clear the jury of their inbred prejudices to enable them to see what was there. And we got a very good verdict out of a D.C. jury.
I saw that, about a $3 million settlement, I think.
Right, exactly. And as they say, how do you get a $3 million settlement? I had a $10 million claim, but anyway. it was a very important case, and it also, through the settlement, we were able to get the District of Columbia to initiate across the government training to sensitize people to some of these issues. So that was very proud of that fact.
Do you see any overlap between your twin passions, the law and outdoor adventure?
Well, that's a great question, and I thought about that as I was leading this trek in Nepal recently, and I realized that the experience of preparing to go to trial, which means you have to be attentive to every little detail to make sure that everybody shows up, to make sure that everybody's ready and prepared and has the right equipment, is not dissimilar to preparing for a trial, which is just like a huge box of little details that you have to bring together and then open that box up in a courtroom and then display it for the jury. So in a way, the experience of being focused on those kinds of little things, I think, enabled us to have a very successful experience where everybody was prepared, everybody had the right equipment, we had all the logistics worked out, and in the end, it was just a hugely successful experience for everybody. I couldn't be more pleased.
Okay, so the devil is really in the details.
Unfortunately, it's always true, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything, and cooking, and trekking, and trial practice.
Great. So you now helm two distinct NGOs, International Mountain Trekking and the Himalayan Climate and Science Institute. At Mushroom Festival, you will be talking about the former, but not the latter. So please briefly explain what the Climate and Science Institute is all about, and
sure.
Do the two NGOs overlap in any way?
Well, first of all, International Mountain Trekking is a regular commercial enterprise. Himalayan Climate Science Institute is, in fact, a nonprofit, so just to clarify that. But look, my interest in the Himalayan Climate and Science Institute came about through my exposure to not only the environment of the Himalayas, but also the people that live there, and I became aware of the existential threat that climate change is bringing to this region. The Himalayas are warming at three times the rest of the planet for complicated reasons, but they hold about 20% of the water that's locked up in glaciers and provide water security to about 20% of the population on the planet. And so those glaciers are now under threat. Some of them have disappeared. In fact, one of the slides that I'll be showing demonstrates this through in the last 40 years, a glacier that has completely disappeared. So this is just an important issue that needs to be studied. And one of the things that I recognized is that science needs logistical support, needs a place to do their work, and needs a place to store their stuff. And climate science is doesn't take place in a single season. It's a multi-year enterprise, and so Himalayan Climate Science Institute's twin goals are to provide logistical support or to provide support for scientific infrastructure in these high altitude areas, and to combine that with training the indigenous population of Sherpas who live there and who have lived there for hundreds of years in the conduct of science, so that if you come to the region to do a scientific research project, you must, if you're going to be doing it under the auspices of the Himalayan Climate and Science Institute, involve the local people in training them so that they can conduct the experiments themselves, frankly, and do the observations.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Sure.
From all of this sizzle, let's move on to the steak. Please share the Twitter version of your upcoming talk at the Telluride Mushroom Festival and explain how your passion for outdoor adventure led to this project.
Well, I can just say this, that one of the things that I'm hoping to communicate, and I hope I can do this, is how much fun we all had. You know, every day was an adventure. Every day was both physically challenging, but also we just had such a great time. Here we were in what I think is some of the most extraordinary environments on the planet Earth. I mean, I don't like when people say, oh, what's your favorite mountain? I think it's a silly question. Every mountain is special. Every place can be special. But the Himalayas certainly hold their fair share of extraordinary things to see and to experience. But here we were, not just there for the mountains, but here to look for and see what we can find in terms of the macro fungi in the area. And we were extraordinarily successful. Even on our drive in, we were stopping the trucks and people were flying out of them to look to grab mushrooms that they were seeing along the side. So the time that we went was fortuitous in terms of being there during peak mushroom season. But we also had just had a lot of fun. And I just think it's just great when you can look back on an experience and say every day was both challenging, interesting, and a lot of fun.
So very briefly, sum up the focus of that talk. What is your mission in delivering the talk?
I think my mission in delivering the talk is to encourage people there to come to Nepal with me next year, frankly. I want to keep doing this, and I think there are more mushrooms to be found, more adventures to be had, and I think this is something that the mushroom-oriented world should be paying attention to, because if we can get people to travel to Nepal, especially during the off season, we accomplish some important goals. One, we advance the science of mycology, which I think is always an important aspirational goal. But also we provide meaningful economic opportunities for my Sherpa friends who rely on trekking and guiding for their livelihood. One of the things that happened during COVID was when the tourism business completely shuts down, these regions really suffer. And what I'd like to try to do is to create a different kind of paradigm in terms of not just trekking for the sake of trekking, but trekking to have a scientific mission associated with it. I think if you can do that and provide economic opportunities that wouldn't ordinarily be there, I think that's a great accomplishment. So if I can inspire people in Telluride to join me on this, that would be a great, great thing to accomplish. So that would be my number one overarching goal.
Okay. Now, as a sidebar, a little birdie told me you are the chief chef in your family. So what are your favorite edibles and how do you like to prepare them?
Well, look, I mean, I'm well known for my brisket. I just have to say that immediately. I mean, if you've ever come to my house for Passover, you'll have that. But there's so many different kinds of cuisines that I enjoy cooking. And I think anybody who cooks does it for one important reason, and that is love. I just think that I learned how food should taste from my mother, who was a terrific chef. And I think for me, if you wake me up in the middle of the night and say, why do you like to cook? I say, well, I like to feed my family. You know, I love the idea and I love the feeling that people have when they're sitting at the table and enjoying a good meal. I just think it is a great spiritual and emotional lubricant that I enjoy participating in. So I don't know if that's the best answer I can give on that.
No, but I'm very specifically referring to your favorite edible mushrooms.
Oh, my mushrooms. Well, look, you know, I'm not so great at finding mushrooms. I love cooking them. You know, I won first prize at one of our mushroom cooking contests. I made a terrific thing where I sauteed up shiitakes, which I had grown in my backyard, and some other oyster mushrooms, and put them all in a phyllo pastry thing and covered it with Gruyere cheese and white wine, you know, reduction. And of course, you know, I mean, that was like shooting fish in a barrel. How can you lose when you add, you know, butter, white wine, shiitake mushrooms and Gruyere cheese? I knew I was going to win that one and I did. So that's one of the things I've made and had great success with. You know, there are lots of others.
Okay, well, you might find some of your other favorite edibles here, given that there are a lot of
I look forward to that. Well, we had a lot of fun in Nepal. On the way up to Namche Bazaar, we found a whole bunch of Swillis boletes, which we gathered, and we had a fun experience because I was there with Shiva Debtoda, and we were stuffing these into a bag we had. And a Nepalese woman came along and saw what we were doing and grabbed the mushrooms out of my hand and threw them in the woods and admonished my friend Shiva not to poison me with these mushrooms. And I looked at Shiva and I said, you know, I'm all about science and evidence-based things, but, you know, I think we need to be guided by what the locals are saying about what we're doing here. And we looked at each other and we then consulted with Britt, who of course is the greatest expert on all things. And he said, no, these are fine. And so with that, I sauteed them up with shallots and garlic and some screaming hot green little peppers and put them on a pizza, and everybody had a great time. We all survived, obviously.
I think that we've hit the pause button. This has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Richard Silber. He is head of one for-profit and one NGO, International Mountain Trekking. His latest project to document the mushrooms of Nepal and Mount Everest and trips that he has in store for all of us. Thank you very, very much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's been a real pleasure. I look forward to meeting you in the next couple of weeks.
You will. Thank you.
Good. Okay.